sick of listening to your shit. Shut the fuck up.
If you're a heckler, shut up. If you're a hater, shut up. If you ain't holding the mic, then shut the fuck up. Fuck boy, shut up. Fake friends, shut up. If you ain't about growth, then shut the fuck up. Negrophobia, shut up. All lives matter, shut up. White man with a forked tongue, shut the fuck up. Victim blamer, shut up. Uncaring, shut up. If you're worthy to our benefit, shut the fuck up. Liar, liar, shut up. Wolf crier, shut up. When grown folks are talking young and shut the fuck up. You a traitor, shut up. Manipulator, shut up. Real friends, though the time to shut the fuck up. Wrong preacher, shut up. Wicked preacher, shut up. If you ain't got any answers, hey, shut the fuck up. Interrupter, shut up. Obstructor, shut up. If you ain't holding the peace pipe, shut the fuck up. Hey, hey, hey. 2021.
Hey, shut the fuck up.
That's what's up.
Shut up!
You cannot talk!
Welcome, bienvenue à un autre épisode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, aka Mr. ShutUpPodcast.com, aka Le Grand Papa B, aka Gaston Lebanor. That pause was me remembering my nicknames. Today's episode is being recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory on Wednesday, December 4, 2024. Today's episode is also brought to you by the letter F. Excuse me. Today's episode is rated F. F for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, Record Lemon as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. Motherfucking edit. We're doing this shit live. Fucking edit. All right, okay. Before I get going, I need to send a shout out to the most important people in this situation, and that's you listeners. Yeah, shout out to y'all, man. Give it up for yourselves. Actually, a category of listeners that's actually more important. No, that's not true. As important, but special. In between us, it's all you new listeners. Yes, all you new listeners, give it up for yourselves. It's a big step you just took. You know, it starts with the first step. And you know, I'm even shouting out those of you who clicked on this podcast by mistake, thinking I was the other Shut Up Podcast. Yeah, welcome. Who knows? Maybe we'll make history. Okay. And last reminder is our website is shutuppodcast.com and email address, in case you're interested, shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. No, nope, that's a lie. Shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. You can't tell, kids, but I think I'm getting close to being senile. All right. Okay. In today's episode titled 226, it's either going to be why I didn't take the blue pill or why I wouldn't have taken the blue pill. And I have a reflection that was inspired while reading Asada's autobiography, and where she compares the person who she was before and who she was with. And it just had me thinking about the concept of choices. I'll elaborate. And yeah, choices. Choices that made you the person you are today. Excuse me. But before we do that, we're going to start with some quotes. We're going to start with some quotes. Well, you know how it goes. We're going to do some quotes, and then we're going to do some randomness. And then I'll get to the main topic. But before, let's start with the quotes. Okay. First one goes. You ready? I arise same day from time to die. Real niggas multiply. That's that one is from Jay-Z. Happy birthday, Jay-Z, because today, December 4th, is his birthday. And RIP, brother Fran Hampton. Again, they don't make him like them. They don't make him like they used to. Second quote is, you know what? This one is a TikTok clip. I'm gonna play this one. Mm-hmm. Hold on a second. Here it goes.
I'm going to say this once, and I'm going to say it loud and clear. What you lose as a result of expressing your fullest, most authentic self is not a loss. It's an alignment.
An alignment. Mm-hmm. An alignment. Say that again, sister.
I'm going to say this once, and I'm going to say it loud and clear. What you lose as a result of expressing your fullest, most authentic self is not a loss. It's an alignment.
Mm. Deep. Mm-hmm. Deep. Yeah, I know she said she's only going to say it once, and I played it a second time, but it needed to register. Last quote goes, and it's going to tie into the last thought, is we are our choices. Jean-Paul Sartre. Sartre? I don't know how you pronounce that in English. Sartre. Yeah, I let you, you can email in. Okay, that's it for quotes. Let's get into some randomness. Okay, well, let me notice the time, all right. Like I said, randomness is supposed to be just the appetizer portion of it's my goddamn podcast. Right, if I feel like filling you up with bread, I'm filling you up with bread. So, all right, let's go with let's do some randomness. All right, okay. First one is, all right. So, preparing for the show, the note that I wrote down is, I think I want to go on a cruise for my birthday this year, next year, in January, right? And today, I can gladly say, I am going on a cruise for my birthday this year. Yay! All things are possible. Yeah, so for those who haven't, I don't think I've been sharing this a lot to you, returning listeners, but I'm turning 50 this year, and I'm not really, I don't want to say I'm depressed. I don't want to say that I'm joyful. I'm just saying I'm in a state of mind where I realized for this particular birthday, I want to be by myself. I just want to be away from their noise. Holy shit. If some girl comes up to me and says, I love your singing. Yeah, you want something, lady. You want something. What do you want, lady? Look, I ain't got that kind of money. Anyway, yeah, that was me attempting to sing, what's his name? Israel, the gospel singer. And I know it's not a popular choice, but whatever. It's the choice I chose to make. And I decided to go on a boat cruise. I guess that's what old people do now, right? And by myself. I'm not doing the whole friend thing. No, I'm going by myself. I'm going to be in a deep set of reflection and take it from there. But all this to say, I went from, I think I'm going to go to a cruise, to doing all the searches, doing all the research. Okay, I won't lie, man. I kind of use ChatGPT to because when I was trying to search for it, I was just overwhelmed by all the options out there. So ChatGPT did a good job at summarizing what I think I might want. And then from there, I was able to decide and branch off and get, okay, this is what I want to do. And 7-day cruise, same week as my birthday. And I'm looking forward to it, man. I'm looking forward to it. Oh, you know what? I'm leaving. You know what? Actually, part of what made the choice easier is when I was going through the option and one of the ports leaving was New Orleans. I'm like, I've never been to New Orleans. And after I made the choice, I was thinking of the show Tremé. I'm going to have to rewatch the show Tremé, even though I'm going to be in New Orleans for one night. one night, and then I get on the boat. My friend keeps telling me, call it a cruise. Don't say you're going on a boat trip. It took me a while to realize. I'm like, yeah, my people came to this trip on a boat trip. I'm going on a cruise. Yeah. Anyways, I'm looking forward to it. In other news, it's fucking snowing in the city of Ottawa in 613. And, you would think that as a Canadian, I'd be used to snow. Every year. No. I'm part of the demographic of Canadian every year when it snows. Without fail. Bitch. Like, fuck. Like, snow is the first time it comes. And then some asshole is going to be like, well, you better get used to it. Then I punch him. And I be like, but it's just me. It's my right. That's why them dudes died on I was going to say Normandy. The Canadians died on Normandy Beach, or were they on the other beach? Whatever. They died for my right to bitch about winter. Yeah, so it's snowing like a motherfucker. And I was thinking, you know, when I see snow, when I'm looking out the window, the only thing I like about winter is seeing the snow fall and staying indoors. Bonus point if I have a hot chocolate. Yeah. Anyway, so, what I was going to say is, yeah, the part of the challenges of being a Canadian is how you can't use, oh, I can't go out because it's snowing. I mean, you can, but you not for a job, let's say. I can't tell my boss, I'm like, hey, I know I said I was coming in, but I'm not coming out because it's snowing. Get your punk ass in here. I know, yeah. They don't talk like that. My boss doesn't talk like that. So, yeah. So, get your ass in here, nigger. He doesn't talk like that, but I'm just saying. There's no excuses. The snow is not an excuse to why it's, especially when you got snow tires on your freaking car. All right. Okay, I'm going to try to breeze through this just other randomness. Okay. First one. Okay, this one is a PSA. I'm not going to play. I got it from TikTok. But I do. When I do these things, I do urge you to go from the show notes. There are links in there worth checking out. And yeah, I'm just going to talk about it. But okay, the reason I'm not going to play it is because it's better seen than heard. But the sister just breaks down the there is a meme. Hold on a second, how she starts.
Y'all, please stop sharing this artwork. I know.
Okay. Yeah, there is this meme going around on social media and it's like drawn black women, like drawn, animated. Is that like colorique with crayons? Not crayons, but I think it's drawn, yeah. And it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, yeah. Six black women on a rooftop looking at the city burned down. And one of them has a shirt on that says 92%. I can't see the title, the name of the person on there. But essentially, don't share that meme. You know why? Because that meme was actually copied, bit off from another painting made by a black woman. Oh yeah. So the first one that I was talking about is an AI. It was AI generated, and it was a copy. It was based on an actual drawing made by a human being. Now this is why I'm telling you it's better if you go through, click on the link. I have it titled under. If you go into show notes, I have it titled under PSA. Please stop sharing this artwork, and you can get all the details. But yeah, no, it's a smack in the face, man. It's like. It's making a strong point. It's making an important point about fuck it. It's like, oh, okay, you motherfuckers want to be individuals? All right, well, good luck. Y'all don't need our help. Figure things out. It's a strong message, and the original content creator or the original artist should get the credit, especially when they're black. Man, motherfuck Elvis. Motherfuck him and Elvis was a hero to most. Motherfuck him and John Wayne. Okay. Next I got. Okay. Again, I'm not going to play this one only because it's funnier if you watch it yourself. But it's a TikTok clip. It's a video. And essentially the joke is about a man trying to be helpful, being a quote unquote gentleman. Towards a woman, and then the woman is like, oh, you're so nice. I was waiting for my boy. And that basically lets her know that he has a boyfriend, and then the man is disappointed and stops helping the girl out. Now, don't get me wrong. I want to establish. It was funny. The meme is funny. I feel the need to defend myself. Oh, this fucking snowflake. Anyway, yeah, no, it was funny. I'm avoiding using the word but because I don't. It was funny. I'm just adding my favorite kind of humor is when it also inspires thought. And the thought that I liked about it is, or that that the thought that I had was it reminded me on how men and women see relationship through completely different lenses. And then we act surprised by divorces or men turning or men starting hating all women because of their dating choices and women doing vice versa. Look, man, it's the dating game is bullshit. That's what I'm trying to say. The dating game, it's rigged. Dating game is bullshit only because most of us. I'm gonna go with most of us were raised not exactly to want to be in loving relationships. I'm not gonna say all, but I mean, I'm speaking from my own experiences. When I hear people, oh, my ex this, my ex that, look, I don't deny that your ex might have been a shitty person, but at some point you got to take the responsibility that there was a point in time where that shitty human being, you saw them with twinkle in your eyes. Well, what I'm getting at is I'm realizing that, one, taking responsibilities for all my relationship failures. And on that list of every reason, on the list of reasons to why I have relationship failures was not just about incompatibility, but was how I was raised to not actually see women as people or look at a significant other / girlfriend, whatever, as a partner. I saw them as someone who can help me bust a nut. And in exchange, the transaction was you allow me to stick my penis in your vagina. Consent, and I become whatever the fuck you want me to be. Not knowing how to be real with another. Look, I'm just saying. I look back at everything I was taught about relationship. Well, it doesn't help that all my information came from Hollywood and R&B music, but you know, I'm just saying. In a different world, we weren't made to be with each other or to have actual relationships. I'd argue that one, but whatever, a different discussion. Next. Okay, I'm not going to play this one only because it's kind of long, I have it labeled under Drake lacks foresight after hearing that control verse. It's been played again, and I'm just going to read the caption. I got this one is a thread link. Français, si je prononce pas bien. And it goes, someone said, finally someone remembers this shit. Dude literally said Kendrick was a moment. This shit was a long time coming. Okay, again, watch the clip for yourself. And you've likely seen it before, but... Okay, I'm speaking to you like you are knowledgeable in hip-hop. Well, you kind of need to, right? But a while back, Kendrick released what the rest of the hip-hop world referred to as that control verse. And the control verse is because the song was Control. It was by Big Sean, and it featured Kendrick and J Electronica. Well, no one gives a fuck, but everyone remember is that verse by Kendrick. And which is why it's referred to as the control verse. Now, Kendrick, I call that shit. I've been referring to that thing as the hip hop 9/11. You know what? Let me do some research. Matter of fact, I think I should always remember. We will remember. Control, Big Sean, Big Shock. No, Big Sean. Control. Oh, December 3. Control, Big Sean. Not Janet Jackson. Control! Okay, August 14, 20. Interesting. I'm going to have a Black Dynamite moment where I'm going to make a link, right? Okay, so 9/11 was on September 11, 2001. Now, you reduce 1 month, you go back 1 month, and what month is it? It's August. Okay, you know what? I can't make the link. I can, but I'm just not in the mood. But anyways, August 14, 2023. Right, when he came out with that verse, my point is, everyone seems to have understood the impact of that song, specifically, not just the part of Kendrick calling out a whole bunch of rappers, Like, respecting, like, he showed respect to these rappers by acknowledging the fact that, hey, y'all my competition. I love y'all, but we competition. I'm trying to murder you niggas. It'd be like me saying, yo, Rod, black guy who tips, I love your podcast, but I wish I had your success, but I want your success. But instead of saying I want your success, I say I'm working so hard that I'm going to win. All your fans come to me. That's not how it works. Whatever, right? Anyways. So Drake was one of the rappers that was privileged to have been mentioned by Kendrick. And this dumbass took it as a diss track. He referred to that control verse as a moment. I'm like, fuck, dude. How do you not understand hip-hop to that point? Right. Anyways, see, was it the point I was in the middle of making is it's not just the control. It's not the fact that he referenced other rappers, but it's also, I'm not surprised, Drake's an idiot. But, I'm calling him an idiot. Sorry. You know, I want to recognize his success. Nice, fuck him. He's I'm really angry. It's not just the fact that he called out a whole bunch of rappers. It's also the fact that Kendrick is a West Coast rapper and who declared himself the king of New York. Fuck. Anyone who understands hip hop, the history of hip hop, that's a big deal. Because the title of King of New York has traditionally been given only to New York rappers. And if you go back to there used to be a beef between West Coast and East Coast and West Coast. There was a time where they were beef and there was like a competition between each other. Now, I don't know if it got violent. Yeah, it did get violent. Fucking Pac and Biggie got shot over that shit. I mean, my point is that beef, the West Coast has come a long way to be part of the accepted part of hip hop. There was a time where West Coast rappers imitated New Yorkers. Because that's what New York was like, the Catholic Church. That's what it was like, the Catholic Church. And West Coast hip hop was like the Protestants. Like, yeah, back in the scene, whatever. It's like they became a force in hip hop. You kids, you motherfucking kids don't get it. But anyway, yeah, I could talk a lot. I could, I'm looking at the time and I'm trying to be respectful of my time here. Okay, reclaiming my time. All right, so anyways, yeah, I'm just saying give a gas face to Drake for not recognizing how significant the control verse was. Yo, he called it a moment because he said it's going to be just a brief moment. I call it hip-hop 9/11. It reminds me of the old folks that during the early days of hip-hop who dismissed hip-hop as a fad. That's like, yeah, you lack of foresight, having ass motherfuckers. That's Drake. Drake was like the old folks who were like, yeah, hip-hop, rap is just a fad. Oh, go away. Give me back some rock and roll. Anyway, yeah. All right. Okay, this is a TikTok. Oh, no, it's not TikTok. I mean, I think it was a TikTok clip, but it's on Instagram. And I love what she says. Here we go.
How could you cut your own mother off? How do you cut your family off? You've been friends for X amount of years. How can you just, let me make it simple for you. Anybody who takes away from my sense of self-worth has to go.
Anybody who takes away from my sense of self-worth has to go. Now, oops, sorry, that's my, might be one of my hoes. That's my phone ringing. No, it's not. It's a telemarketer. All right. The reason why this is so impactful for me is because I'm thinking about the fact that I'm hitting 50 and I do have some wisdom. I do have some wisdom. It's gain some wisdom or realizing that when it comes to my mental health, when it comes to my self-esteem, when it comes to how I see myself, it's that over everything. The world can just go fuck itself. There we go. I remember when growing up Christian and I would have said the same thing. I don't know. It's like me, Jesus over everything. Now I'm like, fuck it. My will to live over everything. My desire, I like how she started, how could you cut your mother off, and how could you, it's like, yo, like she said, you take away from my self-worth, if hanging out with you makes me feel like a shitty human being, because people like you can only exist if they can step on other people, then yeah, you're getting cut off. And it's my cut off, it's not personal, it's me trying to do what I need to do to not blow my fucking brains out. And I'm fresh out of weed. Anyways, shout out to, oh my God, content creator's name is Brittany Elizabeth. I feel like I know that name. Not personally. I feel like, I wonder if I got it from the TikTok. Anyway, so shout out to Brittany Elizabeth. Yeah, I think I've shared some of her content before. Hold on, let me click on Black Autistic, Mostly Thriving, Neurodivergent Support and Social Group. Yeah, shout out to all you neurodivergent folks putting out content like this for the rest of us. Wow. Safe person checklist? Okay. Are you not on TikTok? How the hell did I don't know, whatever. I feel like I've used that name before. Excuse me. I've shared that name or shared her content before. All right. Last but not least, okay, this one is, okay, am I going to play this? All right, I'm just going to play it for the words of wisdom. Hold on.
One of the most.
Hold on a second. I'm just going to play it, and it's again, Deja Sade. I hope I'm pronouncing your name right. Dazia Sade? Okay, I forgot to say, yeah. Dropping the concept of rugged individualism, and it just made me think about my days listening to hip hop and how I used to, I still do, but I mean, didn't really think on the other side of the destructive aspect of pimping, the destructive aspect of selling drugs. You know what? I'll let her break it down for her. But basically, the concept she's describing is called rugged individualism.
One of the most misunderstood aspects of American culture is the notion of rugged individualism. Rugged individualism is the idea that success is achieved by the individual without the need for community or government support. And while this idea, the idea of this idea, can be empowering, it also comes at a cost, and it's the erosion of community bonds because it results from prioritizing individual success over collective welfare that weakens the social support systems that are vital for mental and emotional health. There's a common misconception that the degradation of society is due to a shift away from traditional or conservative values. But in reality, the unraveling of community bonds is more about the unchecked rise of individualism. People aren't turning away from each other because of inclusiveness. They're turning away from each other because they've been conditioned to believe that self-reliance is the only way. They believe that everyone on the block should each have their own lawnmower. Mm-hmm. Instead of everyone pitching in and sharing and maintaining one lawnmower and then pulling the money that everyone would have spent towards individual lawnmowers towards something more beneficial for the whole community, like a community garden, community garden supplies, maintenance, organizing community events, block parties to foster connections, supporting local schools, youth programs, creating a community tool library for sharing other equipment, etc. You get the picture. We are more concerned with having a better lawn than our neighbors to do anything like that. This version of American individualism has created a culture where we are isolated even when we are surrounded by others, where connection is secondary to competition.
So I didn't mean to laugh, but I'm realizing that I kind of might need to explain myself while I'm thinking of pimping and selling drugs. Now, it's I'm thinking of this game called capitalism. And the reason I was laughing is like, why you bring up pimps? Yeah, we should be sharing our hoes. No, it's more, I was more focused. When I heard rugged individualism, I was more focused on this concept of how we celebrate people for being successful, even though it came at a cost of other people. It's like, hey, go Jeff Bezos, look for being a billionaire, good for you. And meanwhile, he's got employees who are like dying in there, who have to go to, I was going to say food stamps, but have to go to like food banks, who are broke. It's like, I think of the motherfuckers who, well, I don't know, I wonder if they had better benefits. But the motherfucker who built the pyramids, you know, that's a bad example because they didn't do it under capitalism. But it's slavery, how America was built, and white people are like, look at us being great. And like, man, fuck y'all niggas. Hey, what about some reparation? We did this by ourselves. It reminds me of that notion that Obama tried to bring up about how it's, no. Republicans are all on that, I did it. When the reality is, we did it. It's like, you benefited from tax dollars. You benefited from these roads. You benefited from these public bus systems. You benefited from, you know, all these systems to make people show up to work and do the work you need to do. Anyway, I can't speak more about it. She, Deja broke it down. But yeah, fascinating. Fascinating, but great. Okay, this concludes randomness. And what did ChatGPT suggest calling it? I forget. Yeah, forgetting the randomness portion of the podcast. Now, let's focus on what you paid the price of admission for. My last thought. All right, let's go. All right, last thought. Okay, like I mentioned, I've been mentioning in the past episode, I am going through, I'm reading the book, going through the audiobook of Asada Shakur, oh my god, Asada Shakur, Afeni Shakur is Tupac's mom, Asada Shakur is Tupac's godmother, by the way, all right, and I'm realizing that I don't fully know who this woman is, so let me read about the author. Right, just for some context, Asada Alugbala Shakur is a black civil rights activist who was a member of the Black Panther Party and the Black Liberation Army, BLA. Between 1971 and 1973, Shakur was accused of several crimes, none of which had sufficient evidence to back them up. Meanwhile, Trump is in the White House. However, knowing that she would not be able to prove her innocence, she escaped prison and fled to Cuba, where she now resides in political asylum. She is listed as FBI most wanted terrorist list. Meanwhile, fucking Trump just January 6th. All right. For more information, do your extensive research, bearing in mind that America is still very racist, bigoted, and microaggressive. Therefore, not all sources are trustworthy. One of the most famous quote is, "No one is going to give you the education you need to overthrow them. Nobody is going to teach you your true history. Your true heroes, if they know that knowledge will help set you free. Follow that example." All right, what up, man? About the author. So that was about Asada Shakur. Now, where I'm going with this. So still enjoying this book. Now, I have this habit when I go for audiobooks of rushing through it. But this one, I'm pacing myself. I feel like it's one of those books that it's not about the destiny. It's not about being able to say I finished it. It's about absorbing every words, every syllable, every letter, every thought this woman is sharing with us, is sharing through these pages or through this audiobook. Now, here's the part I'll read. Okay, I said, there's a chapter in Asada Shakur. I'm at chapter 11, but there's one chapter that really struck. Okay, first let me just explain that. The way she does it, first she'll start with a chapter about who she is and who she was. So who she is as a, the book starts out with her getting arrested, right? That infamous arrest at the turnpike, and they did her wrong, right? And then the next chapter is her growing up in the South, and then Queens, and so it alternates. It's who she was, who she is now, currently, the Black Panther member, the activist, and her growing up. It's kind of like in the autobiography of Malcolm X. It's a gradual. He starts from when he was a kid, and then when he became a hustler, goes to jail, and then becomes Malcolm X. She's like every chapter. She alternates between the two, and it's a good touch. Now, I got to the chapter where in the book where she used to, where she explains, it was fascinating. Again, growing up, she's university or trying to get her high school diploma. I think she's university. But I was fascinated at the chapter where she explains how there was a time where she, how she used to think about the world and America. Like she was, like she, again, she was not educated on black people or like, she just knew what the news told them. She like, what the news told them. She remembers a time where growing up and she played the game of, oh, you're dark skinned. You're, you know, oh man, African this, you know, all the, she was infected with the disease called white supremacy. So she was one of those people. Unenlightened. She wasn't woke when she wasn't woke. That's what I'm saying. I like to call it when she was in the Matrix. And and that part fascinated me. I'm like, what? The Aisha Shakur? There was a time where, because she was during the Vietnam War, and she was like, yeah. And she was surrounded by a bunch of woke black people. And she remembers those days, and they were like, yeah. Oh, no, it was a dude from Africa who was asking us, said, do you know why the United States is in Vietnam? And she goes, yeah, to fight for democracy. Them Viet Coms, whatever, you know, the hype, whatever bullshit propaganda at the time, she bought into it. She didn't know any better. And it fascinated me because I'm listening. I go through the chapter where she gets arrested. And now you got to realize, she's getting arrested by cops who believe she killed another cop. So they weren't kind. They did her dirt. There was a lot of, they put that poor woman for a lot of bullshit. I'm talking on a sick bed, a bullet wound, handcuffed to a sick bed, surrounded by white dudes, by white racist officers. Some of them are like aiming their guns at her, like letting them know, The second, if I get an opportunity, I will kill you or I will torture. If you're lucky, they terrorize this poor woman. They put her for a lot of shit. And so it fascinates me. It shouldn't, because we all grow, but it is a shock finding out that, oh, okay, there was a time where she wasn't enlightened. The before, being able to contrast the before and after is fascinating. And it reminded me of that scene in The Matrix where Cypress says, why did I take the blue pill? Hold on, let me Cypress. He said, oh man, come on. Really? You gonna do? Why would anyone take the blue pill? That's a good question. Why would anyone take the blue pill? Okay, hold on a second. Let me. Jesus Christ. I want to play the quote. Oh, the quote's not there. But okay, just a reminder, I'm going to play this. I'm going to play this reminder of the difference between the blue and the red pill.
Do you want to know what it is? The Matrix is everywhere. It is all around us. Even now, in this very room. You can see it when you look out your window or when you turn on your television. You can feel it when you go to work, when you go to church, when you pay your taxes. It is the world that has been pulled over your eyes to blind you from the truth.
What truth?
That you are a slave, Neo. Like everyone else, you were born into bondage, born into a prison that you cannot smell or taste or touch. A prison for your mind.
Ha, 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 ha.
Unfortunately, no one can be told what the Matrix is. You have to see it for yourself.
There we go. Ready? This is the line. Brace yourself.
This is your last chance. After this, there is no turning back. You take the blue pill. The story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want.
Whatever you want to believe.
You take the red pill. You stay in Wonderland. And I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
All right. Blue pill. You don't believe outside of whatever you currently believe right now. Just go to bed and stay brainwashed. Stay sleeping. Red pill, you wake up. And Cypress says, why didn't I take the blue? There we go. And Cypress says later on, he says, I know what you're thinking.
Why didn't I take the blue pill?
Why didn't I stay asleep? Why didn't I stay ignorant? I won't lie, man. Okay. Let me do this beautiful setup here, right? I feel like this should be a sermon or whatever, but I'm trying to picture Morpheus. I'm thinking about who I was and who I am today. And Morpheus or some other black guy, or even myself, I come back to the past and I... Hello? Yeah, sorry. My headphones are acting up. I could go to my past. I visit my younger self and I say, I'm going to give you a choice. Actually, I wouldn't have played out that way, but it's like... You say a blue pill and you stay stupid. You stay... Again, hold on. I'm trying to think of what age I would need to be. 11 years old? Okay, I'm not old enough to be able to make that kind of choice. 16, 20, whatever. But you go to your past, you visit your younger self, and you say, look, take the blue pill, and you don't know anything more than you currently know. You stay what you are. Take the red pill, and I tell you what the fuck I know. No, here's the joke that I'm making, right? I'm going to make this about myself now. I'm going to reflect. I said, what if I had stayed on that same path? Again, thought exercise here. Like, what if I had stuck to my school curriculum and not read all those books about black history that enlightened me about black history? What if I had never discovered, what if I had never gotten into hip hop? I credit a moment in my life where I was in my cousin's house and I was going through his tape collections and noticed this green tape and saw these three black dudes on there. And I'm fascinated. What the fuck? Black people who look like me and dressed like, what the fuck is that? And then put that tip, that curiosity led me to put that tape in the cassette deck. Press play. My life changed from there. Okay, granted, I was 11 years old. But that set me on the journey. But what if I had not looked at that tape? What if I had been like, press play and be like, oh, what the fuck? Oh my God, what are these niggers saying? What's this drum beat? Whatever. Because it did take me a while to get into hip hop because it wasn't the same thing. I think what really got my attention is when there's a line I'm just paying attention. It goes, I should remind you that tape was Raising Hell by Run DMC. And there's a line where it says, those dumb motherfuckers can't mess with us. I was like, he sweared. Anyways. But my point is, there was a song on that tape called Proud to Be Black. Up until that point, the idea of being proud to be black was never in my, like, was unfathomable. Was up until that point, I thought being black was a curse. There was no pride in blackness. It was something to be ashamed of, to be embarrassed of, to hate yourself for. So what if I had never allowed that song to be like, whoa, what do you mean proud to be black? To think about that. What if I had never joined Access? Access was a group in Ottawa, and it stood for African Canadian Community Educational, I think the S stood for services. And it was these three black folks, one man from Brooklyn and his wife and a friend of theirs. They put together this, I think this was shortly after the LA riots, but they took it upon themselves to create like this little community group where young teenage boys such as myself can learn black history, can be around black people, can talk about black people shit. And they had books. They would take us to kind of by today's standards, kind of weird. But they had like bus trips. I missed it, but one year they went to I think it's called the Black Expo, something like that, in New York. But I didn't get a chance to join. But they did wonders for my blackness. I felt like I was a home. It's funny. I joined this group and. To my dad and to other people, it's like, is this a kind of cult? Are they indoctrinating our kids? Like, I could understand why they were a little worried about it. But no, man, I joined this group, and it just helped shape my blackness. That's what I'm saying. It helped me grow as a black child. So what I had never went to those groups. What if I never followed up, this is the important part, on that need that I'd had as a kid to be black. To be black.
Message!
Because my name, Be Black. Because there was a strong drive in me to be like, tell me more about this thing called blackness. Tell me more about my black skin. Tell me more. What if I had ignored that? And I think about the kind of person I'd be today. Now, I am not saying I regret it. There's no regrets. But I am fascinated on the choices that I made led to who I am today. The same way. Asada Shakur. Because I'm more focused on how this poor woman. I'm not at the chapter yet. Where she escapes prison. I'm at the chapter where she's in prison and they're doing her dirty. Don't get me wrong. It's not her going, poor me, blah, blah, blah. No, I'm the one being like, what the fuck? Yo, I don't think I would have survived a fraction of what this woman went through. I was joking about how, with my friends that, growing up, there was a time where I had reached a point where I had to disassociate myself from my gangster friends. Not that I was always surrounded by gangsters, but there was a lot of, I had friends who had aspirations of being a quote-unquote gangster. And I reached a point where I said, hey, look, man, we can't hang out because I'm telling you right now, we get arrested, I'm telling the cops whatever the fuck they want to hear. And they won't have to use any psychological torture. They won't have to, like, you want some juice? Yes. Now, what do you want to know? My point is, I would not survive interrogation. So I'm listening what this poor woman is going through and wondered and think from her position. Imagine if had you stayed ignorant, had you not given a fuck about black folks, about liberation, had you kept to yourself, had you just got your little diploma, got a regular ass square jobs, and just focused on rugged individualism. Because you would not be suffering like you are. But yo, but she went through it, man. She's a G. I think the only point that I'm making is, had I made different choices, I would not be who I am. And what I mean by, let me rephrase that. I would not be me. the choice. I'm realizing the choices that I made, good and bad, like the broken road. The choices I made, even the bad ones, led me to who I am today. Sure, I might want to beat myself up today, but it was as authentic as I could have been. It was me being authentic. I wonder, I think it's the transgender who decides to like, fuck it, I'm going to follow who I am, and the hell they caught just to be their authentic self. It's like, why didn't you just be a chameleon? Blend in. You wouldn't be tortured, you know? I think it's just a message of keeping it real. I think this is the bottom line. The only last one is keeping it real. The cost of keeping it real. It's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing. if I fail, if I succeed, as long as I live, as I believe, because the greatest. Anyway, yeah, I'm just saying, thinking of that Muhammad Ali quote that says, if the man who, paraphrasing, he goes, the man who sees the world at 50 the same way he saw him at 30 wasted 20 years of their lives. This message is dedicated to the people who, this thought is dedicated to the people who are not the same person they were in high school. Now, I'm not talking about puberty. I'm not talking about, oh, I got more bitches. I got more cars. No, I'm talking about people who've grown, who can talk about how, yeah, there was a time where I thought black people were inferior. That could have been a white or a black person saying that. There was a time where I thought that women were objects. There was a time where I thought that all kinds of bullshit, and you can speak today. You can tap yourself on the back and saying like, yeah, I've grown. I'm educated. I learned shit. I am not the same person. The person I was before was less enlightened than the person that I am today. Look, it was just a fascinating thought. I'm done selling it. I just know that I enjoyed this thought exercise of, oh, yes. I think the reason why I brought up Cypress from the movie Matrix is wondering if there are people out there that's like, yeah, I wish I stayed stupid. I wish I didn't go woke. I wish I conformed, acted like everyone else, just gotten married, just tolerated that abusive relationship, just like, shut up, shut down that part of me that dared to want more. I fucking love this topic, man. I think I'm going to need to come back to it. But yes, I think I'm just going to call this one Why I Wouldn't Have Taken the Blue Pill. Because the conclusion is I would not be who I am today. And this means a lot because I'm not the kind of person who's like, I love myself. No, I'm working on that. But the fact that I'm willing to praise myself for the choices that I made, both good and bad, grow up to be 50 going on a cruise trip by myself. I don't give a fuck. I'm not hurt by that. I love the fact that I can do that. Oh, shit. Hold on a second. Let me shut this down because that's going to be loud. I don't know if you all heard that. That was my WhatsApp notification. Letting me know what? That I got a notification. Okay, let me shut that. God damn it. All right, just hoping it doesn't do that again. I like to keep that playing so you think that I have friends. that I got hoes. All right, okay. This concludes. Oh, yeah, I was supposed to say we are our choices. I'm going to wrap this up with saying we are our choices like Jean-Paul Sartre. We are the sum total of all our choices. All right. Check out the links I have in the other links section of the show notes. Grace Beverly, debunking something stupid that men say. By men, it's really Joe Rogan, but Joe Rogan says something stupid that are shared by other whack-ass dudes like himself. What do you do to foster psychological safety on your team? That's a work-related one. And my favorite one is, man gets dumped on election night for being right. And it's comedian, stand-up comedian Gianmarco Sorcy. Yeah, I thought it was really clever, but it made me think about how the liberals out there who, like, folks, I'm not mad at the liberals, but I am mad at the liberal thinkers who motherfuckers didn't vote or who refuse to accept, who say stupid shit like, oh, Trump is a cult. Doesn't matter. He won the election. I'm mad at the folks who don't realize what just happened, what it means that Trump won. Like, if that Trump election doesn't change you, doesn't change the way you see the world, then fuck, ain't shit I can do for you. But anyways, this concludes today's episode. Reminder again, another reminder, that website is shutuppodcast.com. Email address is shutuppodcast41@gmail.com. Only thing I don't read is spam. No, I don't want to buy the fucking bridge. No, I don't want to hear about from the Nigerian prince. But anyway, yeah. Before I end the show, I want to remind you that this podcast is a safe space for my thoughts. And they are protected by the red, the black, and the green. With the red, black, and the red, blue. Rouge et bleu, motherfucker. I represent and hold it down for black folks who grew up watching TV Ontario, Télé Québec, and black folks who say yes to Big Rube's question, are you an outcast? So black people who grew up being outcast. This episode was rated F. F for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label, and as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. Thank you for listening. And remember, please be kind to your favorite podcast. All right. Peace.